Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your hosts, Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne.
Shooter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
The best guests, the best insight.
Lofton with his team down by two, to the corner, Caputo! No good! And it's over! St. Louis is going dancing!
All backed by over 40 combined years of covering the biggest events in St. Louis sports.
Blues have the puck. Thomas off the wall. Shoots, and it's in.
Let's
they
go.
Score! It's the St. Louisan, Pat Maroon. Bring out the Zamboni. Pat Maroon just put the city on his shoulders, and he saves them to the conference finals.
Now, here are Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne on 590 The Fan KFNS and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box broadcasting live from Whitmore Country Club, site of the 15th annual CBC Alumni Open put on by John Bomarito. 300 golfers will be here today, and to date, they've raised more than $3 million thanks to CBC's generosity and Martin Kilcoyne's annual check.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you. And because of this, we're able to have great-looking golf gear that Charlie Marlowe can proudly display
right.
at Algonquin, okay? That's what this is all about, that Chuck can get some free gear.
Because when you think of CBC, you think of Charlie Marlowe.
But it is a great event, and wherever you went to school, if you have somebody that's helping raise money and get kids into that school that otherwise wouldn't get that education, it's a good thing. I don't care where you go to school. If you've got somebody like John behind it just helping you fundraise, that's a big deal. Plus, it's an event where we're usually fed pretty well.
Yes.
And Frank has been known to play in this tournament. And I turn around and, boy, his flight's usually winning. I'm like, let me see here. Alex Cusimano, noted Westminster alum, is tearing it up at the CBC Open.
Because when you think of CBC, you think of
Alex Cusimano.
CBC wants to thank the Bomarito Automotive Group, CFI Digital, and the Larry Hughes Basketball Academy. All are sponsors. And I bring this up because Larry's son, Larry Hughes Jr., was a freshman last year. Everybody thought, oh, boy, I bet he's going to be great. Well, he didn't play in the varsity because he had ACL. I'm getting reports that Larry's son is starting to blow up and really just take off.
There was some video online of him just drilling three after three. And I would think if you're a kid and you're interested in basketball and you want to go out back and maybe shoot a little bit, hey, Dad, you want to go shoot a little bit out back or go up to the academy? I mean, there's obviously good bloodlines, but you've got that ability to kind of go one-on-one with your dad. I mean, this is going to surprise you, Frank. My dad wasn't a real sportsman, okay?
Oh.
He was a little more cerebral, like myself.
Doctor.
But.
Doctor, correct?
Correct, radiologist. But
interesting, we both have a radiologist in the family. My oldest brother, and I have nothing in common with him intellectually.
Well, and I got nothing from my dad in terms of brains or medical savvy or interest. The only thing I got was like the terrible handwriting, you know, signature. The doctors always have a terrible signature.
That's great.
Mine is a terrible signature. But I want to blame Frank real quick for a unpleasant or awkward moment over the weekend. And I blame Frank. Friday night, we're home. Kids are all going to bed. And Kim and I said, we need to get into a new show. So we roll out The Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, my gosh.
So we're getting really into it. And I had a drink or two, and I said, let's just keep going. We don't have to get up tomorrow. So I might have been overserved in my own house watching this show, and it's fascinating, interesting. And then I get up the next morning, and I ran up to the gas station, and I guess, you know, I look a little disheveled or whatever, and I see Jim Edmonds. And he goes, late night, huh? And I said, what? He said, hey, you look like you're moving a little slow. And I said, we were up really late. He said, big party? And I said, no, we're just at the house watching Handmaid's Tale. But we watched like three or four episodes first night and got into it.
So you turned off the TV at what time?
Probably like 2 a.m.
Wow.
And so then when Jim saw me, it was about 9, and he said, you look really rough. And I said, well, it's Frank's fault.
Do you think he believed you?
No.
Okay.
Oh, boy. And I'm telling you, it gets darker and creepier and more intense as it goes along. This is big time.
Well, we're looking forward to it. it's weird, too, because I watched, what's our John Hamm show?
Mad Men.
And seeing that gal in that role versus this role, it just kind of freaks you out.
Plowsy, on a 1 to 10, what would you give Handmaid's Tale?
Well, it's 10. I mean, it's seriously phenomenal. And this, each season gets better. Now, you don't see that in a lot of series. It's really phenomenal.
It almost has that end of the world Armageddon where, you know, you're out of supplies, but they've got the military and the government's in charge in every street corner. But then they go in the houses, and it's almost like Puritanic times. They're practically living by candlelight, yet the guy's on a laptop. It's the weirdest deal.
Now, Plowsy and I have the exact same taste when it comes to these shows, and I want to recommend one to you, Plowsy, and to everybody listening. We watched it for the first time. We're one episode in, but the Roger Ailes story on Showtime, I think it's called The Loudest Voice, it is unbelievable. And you would really appreciate it because of the TV background, you know, how he's building Fox News. And I'm telling you something, there's a little bit of Roger Ailes in almost every news director or GM that we've worked with over the years. Not presently, of course.
Of course, yeah. Because it doesn't sound like a compliment, if I'm guessing. But you're probably correct.
Oh, my
gosh.
Not
the current model, like including Kurt Kruger, who's an outstanding general manager and who will be here today at the CBC Alumni Open.
Yes, and of course our Alicia Elsner, who's one of the best in the business. But you are really going to get into this. Have you heard anything about it? Have you watched it at all? Oh, my gosh. It's good stuff. The guy playing Roger Ailes is the famous Australian actor.
Russell Crowe?
Yes. And there are times where you just don't even know. I mean, you think you're looking at Roger Ailes. Wait a minute. That's Russell Crowe.
So he gained
Crowe.
A ton of weight, I'm
yes.
assuming.
Oh, God.
He was kind of trending.
Roger doesn't look anything like
not
Russell.
At all.
Or like a Hollywood star.
Yeah, and Russell Crowe's Australian accent is not evident either.
Like
Roger looks like a trash bag filled with pudding. Just kind
of like one of the Three Stooges.
Yeah.
A trash bag. That was like a Dr. Rick description. Trash bag filled with pudding. And when those claims came out against Roger Ailes, as despicable as they were, they felt more disgusting when you just looked at him and said, "You shouldn't be, don't be creep." Not that you should creep on anybody, even if you're a handsome devil, but it just made it worse. And I can't picture Russell Crowe. God, even though he was, I think he's gained weight a little bit over the years, but I can't picture him in that role.
And they have all, you know, they have somebody who plays Sean Hannity, someone who plays Gretchen Carlson, and he's like feeling up every girl, and it just, I mean, it's amazing that it lasted this long. You know, before.
Well, the power, I think.
Yeah. And Gretchen Carlson, I tell you what, I don't know how much money. Let's see, here it is. She, $20 million. $20 million. And she doesn't have to worry about a VOSAD or anchoring a show for the rest of her life. I know it's a horrible thing what she went through, but wow.
And Roger Ailes died shortly after the whole scandal.
I don't know how he lived past 50. He was just, he was so huge. All right.
On a lighter note.
Yes. A little baseball conversation. The only thing disappointing about yesterday was we didn't get any great raw emotion from the hero of the day, Lane Thomas. You and I are thinking only soundbite, 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 and we didn't get much there.
It's funny, the world we live in, you can grab like 5 to 6 seconds of something really, you know, excitable or funny or interesting. And we had a cold open coming out of our sports beginning. I thought, we'll just grab Danny Mac's call, which was exciting and fun. And I said, let's just tag on about 5 seconds of Lane Thomas. And so our producer's like, well, you like this part? I said, well, let's get some a little more zip. Yeah. And he said, what about this part? And I said, is there – and then Zach Choate was there. He said, there isn't anything with more zip. So low-key, but it's probably not his fault since he doesn't ever get interviewed because he never plays.
So they're going to have a really tough decision to make here very shortly. I was with manager Schilt on Sunday morning asking about Randy Arozarena. And, of course, he says, that's a fair question. That's a good question. You know? Like he always says.
I understand
says,
the question.
Yeah,
exactly. I get where you're coming from. I understand the question. And the question is still, is he coming?
Yeah. So
I think they were leaning towards it. It sounded like Mozeliak on KMOX was sort of hinting
absolutely.
That it might be soon.
But then Bader has this explosive weekend, and you got Martinez, who could be a little bit banged up. This is really going to be a tough call.
And not rooting for anyone's injury, but if Jose needs a little spell here on the IL, then the timing is perfect to add in a Arozarena. The thing about Lane Thomas is I don't know what they have in him. He homered in his first at-bat. That was in April. since then, and I know he's been back to Memphis, but since that homering in his first at-bat, he's had 21 total at-bats. He's had four at-bats in August before yesterday, but it's now 22 total at-bats, three home runs. That's a pretty good ratio. So I'm not sure why they haven't thrown him out there a little more. Seems to be a plus defender. The day before they called him up from Memphis, he had a three-home run night. Again, I don't have a scouting report on a Rosarena, like a person. You and I have not gone down there and brought our charts and graphs.
Yes.
But when you see somebody perform well, you say, boy, I wonder if there's more there. And I just feel like a lot of times they overlook what's right in front of them.
You know, let's face it. The popular or the vogue topic last week about Cardinal baseball with almost every talk show host and every writer is, don't you think they're playing Tommy Edman too much? And now Tommy Edman has an incredible weekend where he jump starts the team and just plays great baseball.
Yeah, a lot went into yesterday. Like, you could come out of that game and we could do about a half hour debate about where Miles Michaelis is at, but that almost gets forgotten that he wasn't very good. You could talk about Andrew Miller in that role in the ninth, wondering why Martinez wasn't there to close it out. And the fact that Andrew Miller, he does seem to give up a home run every game. And you could talk about Goldschmidt having a four-hit day. There were a lot of storylines that didn't even get played up because Lane Thomas, a five RBI day, a grand slam, that clearly became the story. You could also talk about how god-awful the Pirates are and thankful for that.
Oh, my goodness.
What a free fall. I mean, teams fall off sometimes after the break. They're 4-24.
I thought that this may have been a weekend where Clint Hurdle's career was going to end, and it still wouldn't shock me. I mean, what's the point? It's not his fault. They don't have great players. But what's the point in having him manage that team?
Almost like a mercy killing. Just let him leave. And 4-24. Even in the Derek Gould interview of David Freese, which I enjoyed over the weekend, just
kind of tremendous.
Freese talking about where he's been, where he's headed. He really is an open book about some of the. He brought up the two car accidents that he had and how it led to some of his injuries. But he was talking about how being in L.A. kind of ignited his interest in baseball. It was just one line, but he said Pitt was tough, meaning Pittsburgh. He just said Pitt was tough. And we can imagine, especially watching the current group, I mean, 4-24, that's almost, I would think, the commission might know, a stretch like that after the break, that's got to be historic. It's really, and thankfully for the Cardinals, because if you lose on Sunday, yes, you win the series, but I don't think you can afford right now to say, we'll take two or three from the Pirates. You almost need to sweep a team that is that bad.
And the Cardinals right now are actually in the second wild card. They're a half game up on the Brewers, but watch out for the New York Mets, who continue to get great starting pitching and timely hitting. That's a team we really didn't think about, we had to worry about in our rearview mirror. Certainly we do now.
Yeah, the Mets were not even in the conversation. I think a lot of people thought, what are they doing? When they added Stroman, and then they didn't deal. And then the next theory was, well, they're loading up for this offseason because they'll have chips to play. Maybe not. Maybe they were thinking we can load up for the second half. I wouldn't mind a team like that making a run, which they have, but it sort of rewards a team for being aggressive, which is what we kind of complain about around here.
The other story I thought from the weekend, I was in the stands on Saturday. And
probably in the last row, upper deck, I'm guessing.
Something like that, yeah. And I did not see, like, any open seats. I mean, the announced attendance was 45,000. I felt like there was 45,000. They surpassed 3.3 million tickets sold for the season. They're on pace between 3.4 and 3.5. I mean, the Cardinals had averaged 43,000 tickets sold per game this season. It's the second highest in the majors after the Dodgers.
So the demise of the franchise is a little exaggerated by talk show hosts, even though the fan base can be a bit rust. I've said this for a while, that the really vocal, upset fan who, you know, hated Matheny for a while and now hates Mozeliak, that doesn't represent the majority of people who are in the building.
You're right.
Those people tend to be big-time fans, excitable fans, and I think that the people who are like, this organization doesn't know what they're doing, they're idiots, that percentage that's out there, and I don't disagree that there's things that should be complained about, but I don't think those are the majority of people in the building that are loyal diehards.
So the Cardinals go from the 48-69 Pirates to the 43-76 Royals. And Kansas City is going to see Jack Flaherty and Dakota Hudson. So this schedule, which is really good for the next 30 days, continues.
I'm not advocating another Michael Wacha start, but if I had to do it, which they seem to be backing themselves into, I think I might pitch him in Kansas City instead of Cincinnati. Like, I think Kansas City is more beatable right now than the Reds. Ballpark-wise, Wacha in Cincinnati scares me. That idea, and the Reds are better right now. Reds are playing pretty well. I don't know what you do, but they seem to be committed to him on Thursday.
I would think about maybe having him have a little neck strain or something, and you go with Ponce. I mean, how could you look at Waka's last bit of work and look at Ponce's last bit of work and think that Michael Wacha gives you a better chance to win a game on Thursday?
I think I would start Helsley and have, like, Ponce as my long relief and just say, you know what, I bet Helsley could give me 2-3 good innings, you know, and they probably don't know much about him over there. The idea that you're going to roll out Wacha with your fingers crossed, and it's nothing against him personally, but does anybody feel good about that? And I don't know if you could – I mean, Kansas City might light him up too, but I just feel like the Royals are down more than the Reds are right now.
All right, our opening monologue was brought to you by Worldwide Technology Raceway, the Bomarito 500, coming up on August 24th. Go to that website, get tickets. All those Indy cars driving 200 miles an hour at that incredible racetrack. We'll take a short time out. When we come back, we're going to be joined by a former first-round draft choice of the St. Louis Football Cardinals and a man who's got quite a story, Luis Sharp.